Today we'll be reading from John 21, 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sadie. Hey, good morning, church. Hey, my name is Michael Trepea. If we haven't met, I am the campus pastor here and just grateful to be gathered again today as we peer into God's word and what he wants to reveal about himself to us. Before I start, our heartbeat here as a church, and I'll say it every week, is to be and make disciples for the glory of God. Not the glory of self, not for us to be comfortable, but for the glory of God. And we do that through worship, mission, and community. You see those core values as you came in. And so that's why we create environments like the table to cause you to engage with other believers, to go deeper, because he has given us the grace of one another and to learn stories and learn to names and backgrounds. And so it's why we craft these environments for you to go deeper. And it's why we also put before you this idea of membering. I have a high view of membering, and in some ways, I actually don't think in the Christian walk it's an optional thing. I actually think it's something we are called to in our very essence of being found in faith in Jesus. We are meant to be given away, poured out for the glory of God, for where he has placed us. So my call to you is, if you are not walking in community, in membering with the church family, hey, I'd invite you to this time to hear the heartbeat of who we are. The heartbeat of who we are as a people, and I'd challenge you to step into it. Even if you've been at another church or had an experience, don't let that experience of maybe hurt or what you've walked in to shade your experience of what God can do here, because I've seen healing happen here from people who've had past experiences of brokenness. And so I want to call you into membering June 1st and 8th if you're and challenge you into that. So just want to put that before you. One of the other things as it relates to membering is we take ownership and serve and pour out our time, our talents, and our treasure for a building up of the Grace Community Church and the people that gather here. And one of the things we commit to is giving. And each and every week, in one way, shape, or form, you hear about worship, giving through worship, not just giving to give. And we as a church want to put before you an opportunity and just an awareness of where we are as a church. So right now, generally what happens, our budget year starts in July, ends in June, and so we are approaching that end of the budgeted year. And I want to put for you where we stand. And where we stand is we're around $200,000 below budgeted versus actual. And I want to put that before you for us to step in to say, hey, maybe God has called you to a member here and you haven't given to what he is doing. My heart for you is to open your hands and open your heart and believe and give into what he's doing here. And so we want to put this before you just as awareness to keep it transparent that we are going to steward our resources as the elders and teams have called us to. So I want to invite you into that story and say continue to worship through giving. Thank you for your generosity to date, but want to put that detail before you as we member together as a faith. As a family. And so if you were here with us last week was a gift to us as a people. We had one of our elders, Jeff Schepansky, share, and he shared about how we oftentimes walk through, the idea of control is an illusion, and oftentimes we experience that loss of control in wilderness moments about how faith in God equips us to walk through those moments. This idea of faith freeing us and fear freezing us. And we've talked about different aspects of faith over fear. A few weeks ago, faith over the fear of the uncertainty of the future, or faith over fear of the evil one. And we'll peer deeper into that in this week and the weeks to come in various ways. And I'm excited to continue on. And before I start, I just want to When I was growing up, one of my favorite shows to watch as a kid was America's Funniest Home Videos. Any of you watch that as kiddos? Right? Got some hands in the back right back there. A few. Shane and Nolan are back there. And there was always the same formula for this show, right? And back at my day, millennial day, Bob Saget with his cheesy humor, right, that would set up these funny videos of people capturing funny videos of where people find themselves. And today, the only thing that's different is Carlton, aka Alfonso Ribeiro, is the host, and he still has cheesy humor, but the videos still keep us coming back. And one of the videos, the type of videos I love is seeing videos about kids and what crazy things they're going to do. And so I wanted to share with you a video of some kids really being caught or found out and watch their actions. And so here is a video for us.
No.
He doesn't even care.
Money. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Did you go over there and sneak cake? You don't have cake icing on your face?
No. It was biting me.
The cake was biting you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, what's all over your face?
Cake.
I can see you. Look at all that candy you've eaten right there.
So those videos are funny videos of kids being found and caught, right, in the act. And what you'll notice as watching that, some of them were just bold-faced and were like, I don't care that you're watching me, even though I'm getting caught, right? One of the other ones right at the beginning was, as the girl's walking around, she tries to hide what's being caught, thinking she's not seen. Or like the kiddo who ate the cake and played the victim, the cake was biting me, right? Right? That's a posture that that kid took, or the one being caught and stunned, or just bold-faced looking, and I don't care if you see me, right? These are all reactions that these kids have in being caught or found out. And see, those reactions, those responses really just transfer, and they evolve as we grow up. With me as a kid, I remember when I was a teenager, and my friend bought me the Jay-Z Hard Knock Life CD, Parental Advisory, back in my day. And in my house, you don't have those things. But I hid it underneath my mattress, and then my mom found it. And I'm like, how in the world did that get there, right? I cover it up, I lie, and it's not as innocent as it was when I was a kid, right? It just carries different consequences. Or, parents, you disciple your kids through this, but when I was a teenager, I went around with my cousin and we toilet papered the neighborhood, and my aunt found out, and the next morning she caught us in a lie and she made us take out all the toilet paper that we destructed our neighborhood with. And I was caught and found out in the midst of the act. And I was like that stunned little girl, right? And it had different consequences when I was a little bit older. But here's what happens as we continue up the scale of things. The innocence is lost in a lot of ways, and the consequences grow. So when pain hits our lives, what happens? Do we just openly just deal with it? No, we push it down oftentimes. We try to push it away, hoping it will get better on its own. Or when things don't look as we think they should, or shame may set in from an experience we had or some act someone did to us, what happens? We hope it will go away, and we never deal with it, and we hope people don't see. Or maybe there's a problem in our relationship, in our friendships, in our marriages, and we look too much at Instagram or Facebook. Man, look at them. They have their marriage and their parenting all together. And so we're like, I don't want to share it. I don't want to share that things are really hard in the moment. So we just hide it away, thinking that it's better that it won't be seen or found out. And we hide and we blame others. We play the victim. We carry the weight, just like the kids, just different consequences. And what drives that? What drives that response? And it's really fear. Fear of being caught or found out for who and what we truly are. That last 2%, I like to call it. Because if someone knew, if someone really knew who I was, or if I was really seen for what I have engaged in, I wouldn't be loved. And you see, I want to frame today a picture of someone who walked that walk, who had an experience of being caught or found out, and how he responded. But the reason I read John 21 to show us the merciful God that pursues us in the midst of the shame of sin and calls us out of that. And so we're going to look at an overview of the life of Peter and then land the plane with Jesus' merciful pursuit. So who is Peter? Most people in this room know that Peter was someone who was one of the first disciples that Jesus called. He said, he saw Peter and he said, come follow me. And Peter was a part of Jesus' inner circle, his three, that he invested and shared his life throughout Jesus' ministry with. So Jesus shared himself. This became a close friend to Jesus. Jesus confided in him. He even said in Matthew 16 that tells Peter that he will have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He spoke life and purpose into Peter. And then Luke 22 records an episode where the Passover is happening. And Jesus is foretelling his coming death. And Peter passionately says to Jesus, I'll go to you with prison. I'll go to you to death. No matter the cost, I'm going there. And then Jesus lays out what's going to happen with Peter, that he will deny Jesus three times. What do you mean, Jesus? I will never do that. And then if you've been around church circles long enough, you know the story. Jesus is betrayed by Judas. He's arrested. And what happens throughout the story? Servant girl shows up, Peter denies. Other gospel accounts say that a high official in that area shows up, Peter denies. I'm not walking with him. And Peter starts, and he denies a third time. And Luke 22 records the denial on the third time. And I want to read it because it's one of the most searing lines in my mind of what the experience was like for Peter. And it says on his third time in Luke 22, verse 60 through 62, it says, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about in this third denial. And it says, immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Imagine that for a second. He turned and looked. He caught and saw Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And what was Peter's response? And he went out and he wept bitterly. Do you think Peter felt shame in this moment? Do you think this was a moment he was like, I am so proud, I'm going to share with everyone what's happening? No. Do you think these momentary tears were, he just experienced it and he just got over it? No, he went out and he wept bitterly. He had just denied his closest friend, the Savior of the world. And this act caused Peter to live in the shadows, and even some commentaries say, after Jesus' death and resurrection, it caused him to believe and try to go back to his former life as a fisherman, not a fisher of men. You see, the shame of sin caused Peter to hide and run and flee. And that's what sin does. The shame of sin causes us to hide for fear of being found out. It did then for Peter. It does that for us today. You see, we see this even happening within culture. These lives that are built, and then we love to take in what's happening with different cases. These lavish lives that are lived in culture, and when they crash and fall, we tune in to see what are the details are, what led there. I mean, this week on different news outlets, the following of what's happening to P. Diddy's life, right? Well, he lived lavishly for all these years, but all this stuff behind the scenes that was pushed down, that was being crowded out, it's now coming and being brought to the light, and we live in the after effects of that because we love that as a culture. A few years back, it was Jeffrey Epstein, and even right now, I feel like each month there's another pastor that rises and falls, right, due to the hidden sin that is happening in their lives. And we resonate and see that story. But that's what sin does. It causes the shame of sin. It pushes us into the darkness, believing that pushing it down, keeping it down is going to heal us. But that's not the truth. But that's what sin has done until today, and we'll keep on doing. John 3:20 states this exact thought about our human condition when it says this: for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. You see, we've been seeing it happen since the garden, if you know the biblical narrative. Did Adam own up to it when he disobeyed God's command? Nope, he hid. He ran. He pushed it down. He tried to cover himself in his own strength. We see it happen with David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and what he did was he killed her husband on the front lines, put him on the front lines. It happened with Peter in his denial and getting caught and found out. Shame of sin caused it, and fear left him in the darkness. And that goes to every one of us that leaves and pushes the last 2% down and never brings it to the light. And I've shared transparently from this platform because I want us to be an authentic people bringing our whole brokenness into the light. And you've heard me talk about past parts of me that are filled with anger or sexual brokenness. A few weeks ago, I shared with my team at a staff meeting that I get to serve with. I said, hey, I'm pursuing some coaching, counseling myself because I've been short and I have been impatient. But here's why I shared that. Because I need to bring that stuff into the light. And you may say, oh, you know, you're short, impatient, that's not as big. No, let me tell you where that is, that's rooted. What I've been realizing that oftentimes I want to perform and I often want to overwork. And in the season of certain circumstances that I find myself in, I'm throwing myself into so deeply, how much can I do? What can I do? And really it comes from a rootedness in trying to perform for you, trying to perform for God, trying to perform for some standard that is unattainable. And it's really trying to people please. And that's a deeply rooted issue in my heart. And it could cause me to hide, but I bring it forward to say, that may not be your walk, but what is that brokenness in your story that you pushed down that if someone saw, you think they might not love you? You think that they may run. Shame kept me hidden. I never thought I'd be doing this, but NF, a rapper who's a Christian, wrote a song about 10 years ago called Mansions. And it puts forward this idea of someone creating, right? He's writing about rooms in his house, this mansion, and it's based on the pain he's experienced or the anger that he has and the different dynamics of what a past trauma he has walked through. And he writes in a song based on that. And he talks about one room that he won't let anyone go in. And I'm going to speak these lines for us because I think they're really impactful to understand the shame of sin and what fear does. And bear with me as I do my spoken word version. Thank you for your grace. He says this: so this part of my house, no one's been in it for years. I built the safe room and I don't let no one in there. Because if I do, there's a chance that they might disappear and not come back. And I admit I am emotionally scared to let anyone inside. So I just leave my doors locked. You might get others to open, but this door's not. Because I don't want you to have the opportunity to hurt me. And I'll be the only person that I can blame when you desert me. I'm barricaded inside, so stop watching. I'm not coming to the door, so stop knocking. I'm trapped here. God keeps saying, I'm not locked in. I chose this. I'm lost in my own conscience. I know that shutting the wall down ain't solving the problem, but I didn't build this house because I thought it would solve them. I built it because I thought it was safer in there. But it's not. I'm the only thing that's living in here. Fear came to my house years ago and I let him in. Maybe that's the problem because I've been dealing with this ever since. I thought that he would leave, but it's obvious he never did. He must have picked the room and got comfortable and settled in. Now I'm in the position, it's either sit here and let him win or put him back outside where he came from, but I never can. Because in order to do that, I have to open the doors. Is that me or the fear talking? I don't know anymore. You see, that's the fear speaking through NF. To stay locked inside. To stay hidden. For fear of being caught. And that is the fear speaking to Peter when he's running back to what he had been comfortable and known. And that's what fear does. It wants us to stay hidden, saying it's easier, mask it, don't let anyone see your brokenness, hide away, blame someone else. And so let me ask you, church, what part of your life feels too shameful, too risky, or too hidden to bring into the light? We all have parts. Maybe it's your marriage that feels broken at this moment. Maybe it's an addiction to status, performance, alcohol that you try to mask your pain. Maybe it's past trauma done to you or done by you, where the moment you recall it, you just run back. I don't know what it is. But what part of your life feels too shameful, too risky, or too hidden to bring into the light? You see, church, I'm grateful that the story of the gospel doesn't end with Peter there, and the story of the gospel doesn't end with the shame of sin winning. No, it ends with a Savior that mercifully pursues us and calls us into the light. You see, the reason why I had Sadie share that scripture from John 21 is because it shows the mercy of God through Jesus to Peter. It gives a picture of restoration that we, when we bring it into the light, can have because of Christ. You see, Jesus could have written off Peter. He could have said, Peter, just go back to fishing again. You're not a fisher of men. You denied me, your best friend, you denied me and deserted me. That's not the heart of God that we serve. We serve a God of mercy. That's one of his attributes. And mercy is not getting what we deserve. Peter deserved to go back, but Jesus didn't extend that. He extended grace and mercy. And we serve that merciful God today if we are in Christ. And so, John 21, verse 15. Let's see how his mercy is on display. It says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What he's saying is, Simon, more than your comforts, more than your past brokenness, more than even these other disciples that are around, do you love me? And how does Peter say? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then a third time, he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, stressing the importance, the gravity, the weight of this question, because he wanted Peter to understand what he was asking. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And going on to the end of verse 19, and after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Church, Jesus doesn't come with Peter's denial and condemnation in the forefront. Because Jesus knows Peter is hurting, hiding, going back to his comforts, thinking that will tame and his hidden sin and pain in hurting his best friend. He doesn't lead with that. He leads with a merciful question that is calling Peter to full surrender. Peter, do you love me? Go live in your purpose, not your shame of denying me, and feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep that I've made you to steward and care for. Peter, do you love me? He calls him in to follow him. What I found amazing as I was studying is, what are the first words Jesus says to Peter at the beginning of the story? Come follow me. What are the last words Jesus says to Peter? Follow me. He's calling Peter to a life of continual surrender. It even says in verse 18 how he's going to die and glorify God. He's calling him to a life of abandoning and surrender, even in the face of the sin and the shame that calls him into hiding. What Jesus is communicating to Peter in this instance is that follow me, not your sin and your shortcomings. You can't perform enough to be okay. You can't mask your sin enough to be okay. You can't heal yourself in your own strength to be okay. No, follow me. Hold to me. My cross was sufficient for the payment of sin. My death and resurrection was sufficient for the power over that sin and the shame you want to feel. Surrender that hidden room of shame to me. Don't love it more than me, Peter. Surrender that part of your story. Bring it into the light because I have healing and mercy for you. Trust me that your hidden addiction is not too heavy for me to bear and walk with you in healing. Peter, my life is your life. Follow me into the light, not staying in the darkness. You see, whereas the shame of sin causes us to fear being found out, faith in a merciful God causes us to be restored. We need to believe that we serve a merciful Savior. And I put myself in Peter's shoes in that moment of his denial and the Lord looking over. And again, this is not Bible, this is just his conjecture, but I wonder if Jesus was looking over, not condemning, but just saying, I'm going to the cross for this. I'm going for the cross for because you can't, but I'm going to the cross because I love you. And I wonder if he looked over, not in the same of shaming or condemning, but just looking at him saying, I love you. So let me ask you a question. It's the question I asked, and I'm going to invite you into for a few minutes today. As Jeff Schapansky did last week, I just don't want to talk at you every Sunday. I want to provide moments of response and sitting in what the Spirit is doing in your hearts. And I want to invite you to that surrender today. The question I asked earlier was, what part of your life feels too shameful, too risky, or too hidden to bring into the light? I want you to invite you into surrender that today. Maybe you don't know this Jesus who paid for your sin and provided power in his life over it by his Spirit. Maybe you need to surrender to this merciful Savior that's available for you today. We're going to listen to a song on the live stream. It'll be silence, but here we're going to listen to a song about coming into the light. And what I want this moment, these next 4 minutes to be before we celebrate communion, is you taking time with God, or if you want to pray with us, we'll have our prayer team here. I'll be down here. You don't have to, but I want you to enter into a moment of surrender, that last 2%. To say, what have you been hiding for so long that's just calling, that's just taking from you? Or just sit before God and have him bring your brokenness to light and see how what Jesus has paid for it. But this song is called Come Into the Light, and I want us just to sit under it. and to live in the surrender today. So we are going to be here to pray with you if you want to stay where you are, but take these words in and sit under it, and then we'll come celebrate communion. We don't serve a Savior that says, hey, you need to be perfect and then you can be in my presence. No, we serve a Savior that came down into our time and space, God himself, and he took on flesh, walked with us in our brokenness, and he said, I'm going to be the perfect one in your stead, in your place. My body is going to be broken because you can't perform your way to me. So my body's going to be broken, my blood's going to be shed so you can live fully in the light, in faith in me, and live in freedom, not in the darkness anymore. And so we have been brought to a table, not based on what we have done, but based on what Jesus himself has taken on. Not live in darkness, but live into the light. And so we are going to remember that today. And that's why we celebrate communion as a remembrance as a people. That this isn't just a room full of individuals, but a collective of a people that has been made clean because of what Jesus has done. And we need to remind ourselves and celebrate the finished work on the cross. And so we will do that today. So if you have the elements, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Church, let us take the bread today. And he goes on to say, in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Church, let us take this cup today. God, I thank you that it's because of you that we stand. It's because of you we can have freedom. It's because of your spirit working in us as we submit our lives to you that the darkness can be worked out of us and we are made more into your image. And we can come to you being fully known and fully loved because of what Christ has done. God, help us to be an authentic, transparent, surrendered people today. Not just bringing 98% that won't cause us to be seen in the perfect light, but the whole 100% in faith, believing that you will heal us and heal us in this community of faith. God, that you love us where we are and we cannot outsin your grace. God, and I pray for anyone in this room that is walking their own race, thinking they can heal themselves. God, I pray for surrender of their lives to King Jesus today. That we can live in truth, knowing that you love us, living as people of the light, not darkness. God, it's because of you that we stand. It's because of Christ we have been won over sin, death, and the grave. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let us stand and sing in response to the word today.